Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Well, welcome to another Need to Know FAQ podcast. This is our third in our FAQs. The normal episode number is 225. This episode, again, is brought to you by the CIA Ops Patron community. You'll find more details at CIAOpsPatron.com. Now, what we've talked about in our previous FAQs has been a process and a starting point for migrating data files to Microsoft 365. So this started off with making sure that you had a good discovery process around what data you actually have and you want to migrate to the cloud, basically organizing that. The second one, we then talked about a framework, so where stuff basically would go. And then in this episode, what I want to talk to you about is the actual process. So how to actually go about doing this? What's the framework that we can put in place? So I believe that there are five major steps to consider when we're looking at this process. So we've largely talked about the first one being structure. So the structure comes from how many teams we're going to have, how many users, how many SharePoint sites, what's going to basically be the connection between our teams and our SharePoint sites, how's that navigation and all that sort of stuff going to work, how's it going to work behind the scenes. So we need to basically put in the framework behind the scenes, as we always do when we're moving data. So again, that's been pretty straightforward and covered pretty much in our previous FAQs. Now, the second major topic here is around permission. So once you've got your structure and you want to, when you've worked out how many teams you need to have and SharePoint sites and libraries and folders and so on, the next thing to work out is what permissions are going to be inside of that. So you take your structure, overlay the permission. So who's going to have access to this team? What level are they going to have? Is it this enough permission? Is this too little permission? Do you need to adjust that? So again, if you create a HR team, who is going to have access to that? Probably just the HR people. But if you create a HR area inside your intranet, you probably want to give your HR people read-write access, whereas everybody else has read-only access. So everybody can go in and get a document, they can get a form, they can look at a company manual, but they can't actually make the changes. The changes come from the HR people. So the item number two that's really important here is around the permissions. Now, the easiest way probably to accomplish that is to list out your structure in a spreadsheet and then have your people or users or your groups basically as columns, and then go through and mark exactly who needs permission. So you basically would have three levels. At the highest level, you're going to have read, you're going to have write, so that's read and write, and then you're going to have what's called an owner permission. Now, an owner permission has read write but also has the ability to add other people or change the security of that area. So again, to start off with, don't get complicated, keep it simple. Look at permissions as being three major areas: read-only, read-write, and basically owner-level permissions. Where are those going to apply in your structure? Best practice is to use groups to put users into groups and then assign the groups the permissions in your structure. So that means that going forward, you only then need to add people in and out of groups rather than adding them to the actual location in the structure. Now, that may not always be possible, but again, best practice is to create groups for your SharePoint sites or your locations and then put users inside those groups. Now, typically when we create a team, we will get a group for that. So again, we'll have that ability to do that already, so that will be available to you, but you can create more within SharePoint or wherever you want. So again, second item on the list here is work out your permissions based on the structure, which was the starting point. Now, item number three is metadata. Now, metadata encompasses a wide range of topics. Now, metadata typically is used to describe files. So rather than creating folders within folders within folders, a very deep structure, the idea is that we can tag files with basically some sort of text. So again, if you've got a list of files that are relevant to a customer by year, that year can actually become a tag. So rather than having a folder for 2018, 2017, 2016, for example, you could tag a file with that number. So again, doing that reduces the structure, flattens the environment. So again, think about metadata as a way to add additional information describing files. SharePoint's very good at this. You can add additional columns to describe that. That metadata then allows you to sort and also to be able to search more easy and to filter that information. So the challenge that you find with metadata is that it typically already exists. So where you find it is typically the folder structure in a file server is arranged in metadata. So if you have a file server with an F drive, you'll find typically a top level share called finance. That finance is probably going to map to a team. You'll then have a subdirectory called customer. That customer will probably map to a channel. And then you'll have a year. So like I mentioned, you'd have 2018, 2017 now. That then can be mapped to metadata. So rather than having folders below customer, you could have basically the files for each customer in that location and then have a tag for those or a field that then designates the year. So again, one of the biggest challenges with metadata is thinking about this planning before you actually need it. What metadata are you going to need typically for the organization? Now, most organizations are going to have metadata based around their organization. So they're going to have it for their departments, their sections, and so on. They're also going to have it for maybe their major products. So again, if they've got a major product, maybe that's the metadata. A good example here in Australia is our state. So we have states that are normally designated by, you know, NSW, VIC, QLD, but the important thing with metadata is consistency here. So again, how are you going to define NSW? Is that going to be NSW, lowercase, NSW, uppercase, N.S.W. So having a think and defining how your metadata is going to be is going to make it consistent across the whole environment. It's going to make it much easier for people to work with. So part of this should be this designation, this understanding of what's our major metadata, and then documenting it as with everything. So OneNote, something in SharePoint is a good place to start for this. So you don't have to go down to the nth degree to start off with. You can basically do the major areas, the low-hanging fruit, but start a definition here. So many organizations that I work with don't have a clear delineation and understanding of the metadata used in their organization. That's why they get a mixture all over the place. Now, another area around metadata that you need to consider is also things like the look and the feel. So what sort of images, what sort of graphics, what sort of color scheme are you going to use when it comes to your teams, when it comes to your SharePoint site? So every team has the ability, for example, to have an image to designate that. Now, it makes it much more pleasing for users if they can recognize a logo or an icon for their team and associate that with the work they do. So again, part of this is to sit down and say, right, this is going to be our company standard. This is what we're going to use for our company logo. These are the colors we're going to use. These are the individual graphics we're going to use for our departments and so on. Now that metadata may also, again, talk to getting it photos of individuals to upload into their Delve so they appear in the logos for emails and also meetings in Teams and all that sort of stuff. So part of this is going to be this collection, this categorization of metadata, which I find is what most organizations really haven't spent any time with. They've just accumulated over time. They haven't taken a step back and really designed and sat down and worked out what metadata is important to them and how to standardize this across the organization. Now, one of the really important things when it comes to metadata and changing the look and the feel of SharePoint is that you do that at your own peril. Now, The blog post that I'm refer you to for this episode talks, gives an example here that was pulled out from the Ignite session. And basically it talks about the customizations that some people have done to their SharePoint sites earlier on in the past. Those customizations have always come back to bite them a time and time again. So their recommendation is to go with the industry standard. Don't force the business model into SharePoint. Again, look at how SharePoint teams and that can basically work with you and make it easier maybe to modify slightly the way that you work to fit into the approach of these new tools. So again, make sure that you look at the metadata, you look and understand, start documenting it. What do we use? What definitions we want standard for our organization, for our departments, for our states, for so on. So again, something not many organizations have, but I highly recommend that you sit down and have a look at, okay, let's start defining our metadata. Like I said, you don't have to do it to the nth degree, but it's always good to make a start on and have a documentation, a central location that people can go to. Now, once we've got our structure in place, we've got our permissions over our structure, we've got our metadata to help us, again, with the definitions and with the searchability of the data inside our structure. The number four option I would suggest is automation. So tools like SharePoint, Office 365, Microsoft 365 give us lots and lots of automation tools. So we have Power Automate, we have Power Apps, we have a whole range of tools here that can allow us to begin to automate these. So by using metadata, for example, we can now start setting up areas where we can automate these environments. So when a certain field changes, that can kick off a Power Automate flow to then go off and maybe forward the form for approval to a third party. So the idea with our structure and our metadata is to help us when it comes to automation. It will make automation easier. So the investment that we make in structure and in metadata up front is going to pay dividends when it comes to using automation. Now again, we've got the flexibility with Microsoft 365, SharePoint and Teams to make changes as we need along the way. But as always, it's good to have a little bit of a think about this before we go charging down that path. So again, work through this process, document it out, start thinking about it. You'll never get it perfect, but a little bit of thought up front is going to potentially save a hell of a lot of issues down the track and changing the whole look and the feel. So remember that the ultimate goal of what you want to do once you've migrated this is to automate as much as you can, automate those processes that have been probably done manually for so long. So how can we automate that and improve the business and improve the productivity within our organization? Now, the last item, which I haven't mentioned in my blog post, which I've been thinking about more and more, is this concept of governance. So governance basically means thinking about who is going to maintain the structure, who is going to maintain the metadata, who is going to maintain the permissions, who is responsible for making sure the right users have access to the right information and are doing the right thing with it. Now, governance can also apply to things like chats in Teams, things in Yammer as well. So we need to have that defined as well. This is another thing which many organizations I find fall down, is they haven't got this defined. Who's responsible for what? And that, again, makes life much easier to know who is responsible for these different areas. So typically the way to think about it is most teams are based around a business unit. So the head of that business unit or someone they nominate inside that business unit will be responsible for maintaining the team, the conversations, the files, doing a bit of gardening around that level. So they should be the governance officer for their area. Now, as we move up the chain, maybe, again, IT is more responsible for the governance of things like Yammer, things like the intranet. But importantly, again, it's a matter of who is responsible for this. And part of the thing you need to consider is governance is going to always be an ongoing area. It's always going to be an area that you are going to have to spend time in, have a look at best practices and think about, okay, are we doing things right? Does this need to change? What needs to happen? This is the change process. So again, rather than things happening randomly, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have a process that we go through to govern, to make sure that, again, our information is correctly stored, is correctly permissioned, has the right description metadata around it, is automated in the correct way. So again, some things there to think about. Now, just in summary, those five items for thinking about when it comes to the process of migration, right? The high level area that we want to think about when it comes to this is going to be structure first, right? So define your structure, Teams, SharePoint sites, folder structure, document library, so on. The permissions, who is going to have access, who is going to have rights to that structure, the areas within that structure. Third is the metadata. How do we describe that structure? So again, rather than having deep structures, we want to look at using metadata to flatten that out. What sort of graphics are we going to use? What sort of coloring? How are we going to describe all the information that we're putting into our collaboration environment in Microsoft 365? Number four, automation. How are we going to save time and remove processes that are repetitive? And number five, the governance. What is the process we have to oversee this to make sure that we are optimizing and securing and giving the best experience for our users? So again, structure, permissions, metadata, and automation. So hopefully with that, we've got a nice base now to work with. We understand, again, how to discover our data in FAQ number one. We can look at a migration framework, where the data is actually going to go, a bit of an idea there. And now with this FAQ, we can look at the actual process. How do we go through this? What's an idea of the things that we need to do, those five steps as well. So once again, I thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.